Blue Jays Senior VP of Baseball Ops and General Manager Alex Anthopoulos joins us. Double A, how you doing?
Very good. You guys?
Pretty good. How are your kids? Everybody okay?
Everyone's doing great. Son's starting to walk. Life is good.
All right, good. Just checking it out.
That's right.
Look, I know what you're going to say. You've said it before, but just for the record here, there was a rumor out there about Jose Bautista, and let's be honest, a lot of people have talked about the possibility of trading Jose. This seemed to be something beyond just casual discussion, implying that something was afoot, and you very clearly and distinctly denied it, which it doesn't tend to be your modus operandi. Why did you feel you had to issue the denial that you did?
You know what, and you're right. And most, I'd say almost every time, I just say it's rumors, and I use the standard, we don't comment on rumors, but it was, obviously, I was at the GM meetings, and I woke up, it was 5 in the morning, and my phone had just blown up with texts and emails, and it was just so ridiculous and so off base, and, you know, sometimes you just, when it's so far off base, you almost want to out the person that just makes stuff up, such as much, you know, you kind of get shoved at some, as much maybe you give a shove back just because it's so ridiculous at some point. So I understand there's, look, sometimes there's rumors and there might be 20% truth to them or something like that, but this was just one of those things that just, I think someone just sat there and said, let me just make something up and have some fun. And it took a lot of my time just because I don't like to not respond to emails or not respond to texts or blow anybody off. I know everyone's got a job to do and they have to, and I appreciate the fact that they at least asked to check, but it just became a time sink with that. And then when I get down to the lobby and I'm going to the meetings and got 100 million people coming up to me and trying to ask me about it. So, you know, it's 5 hours of my life that I don't get back on something that someone just decided to make up.
Clearly, by this time last year, you were moving and shaking. Why do you think it has been so pedantic this year?
I don't know. It's it definitely feels slower on all levels, free agency and so on. I think it's just going to take a little more time to develop. There's theories. I don't know that I believe them all, but one can be that there's speculation that there's so much money out there and that the free agent market's going to go crazy, and you know, maybe that's the inflated cost or the projected cost of free agency. No one's really necessarily willing to jump at the prices. I know there's been a few deals signed, but not that many. And I think the fact that free agency can obviously has implications on everybody else, because in a perfect scenario, you'd rather sign a free agent if you can find the right value and keep the assets you have rather than make the trade. So I know for some trades that we're trying to make, we're being slowed up by teams waiting on free agents. And I was just having a conversation with a team last night that they have some interest in our players, but they basically said the interest is predicated on whether they lose out on some free agents, and those free agents are going to take a little bit of time. So I think this is going to be a very late developing market. I think you're going to have it go into the winter meetings, and absolutely you're going to see a bunch of signings potentially off of the way to read it right now, going to January.
Speaking of free agents, Alex, were you guys in on Carlos Ruiz at all?
You know, we touched base with him. I don't know that I'd get any more specific than that, but we had dialogue with his agent, and we liked the player. But that's probably as far as I would go in terms of characterizing our talks.
Were you surprised at the numbers or the term or anything that in the deal that was done?
No, just because, and again, I don't want to, we had dialogue. Again, we call on every free agent as much just to have the information, to have the knowledge, to be flexible as well. You don't know. All of a sudden, you don't think you have a need at a certain spot, but someone has interest in one of your players, and you may need to replace that player, and also gives you a sense of the market. If you have a sense of where the free agents are going to go and what the price points are going to be, that's information you have when you're talking to clubs about trades and knowing what their alternatives are. So, was I surprised? No, because I think the agent was pretty good about being candid about where he wanted to end up. Getting 3 years was important to him. He felt very confident he would get at least 2, and 3 was the number that would finally make him move and get a deal done. So, and I think the AAV, Martin was the comp. He made $8.5 million with the Pirates last year on a 2-year deal, and he wanted to be north of there. So he was very consistent and honest, and he said he was going to wait until he got that type of deal.
What do you think is going to happen with Tanaka with the new under the new posting system?
I'm not sure. There's definitely been talk of making changes to it. Obviously, the commissioner's office is very involved in that, and they're the ones that are negotiating with the MPB. And I don't know really more than that. I mean, we're not clubs, aren't necessarily involved in the process, but clearly it looks as though he's got a chance to come out, and that's not 100%, but I think everyone would acknowledge he's talented and he's going to help. He can help a lot of teams.
With Alex Anthopoulos. Back to the free agency situation and the trade situation. So a lot of the trading stuff is being held up by teams looking at the free agent market, and there is a sense that the bar is moving and will move during this offseason in terms of salaries. Do you believe that to be the case? Is the bar going up substantially, and is that essentially what's happened? Is everybody's kind of nervous to set the new bar, hoping somebody else will do it?
I think it can happen. I don't know that I'm prepared to say that it will happen, and you know, we're going to have to let the dust settle because, in fairness to that, people debate the quality of the free agent crop. So, you know, look, some people have said, I guess if you're looking at the early on signings, some people would say, well, Ruiz got more than Martin, and Martin was a 30-year-old or 31-year-old, and he got 2 years at that money, and now Ruiz is older, and the average annual value of the contract was higher, and he got more years, and maybe that's an indication of inflation. But there may be some other deals that don't necessarily reflect that. I can't speak for clubs to say that they're nervous about setting the bar. I think everyone's just – right now there's so many options out there. You have 30 clubs talking trade. You've got a ton of free agents out there. And you know that once you make a decision one way, it really sets your whole off-season up. So I think everyone's very careful to before they jump in and they make that first move because of the chain reaction.
Can I ask this question to follow up? Are you the same way? I mean, do you have an outline of how the dominoes, because everybody thinks there's more than one deal for you to make. Do you know how those dominoes fall? Or do you almost have to wait and see if I fill a need, this need here this way, then I fill that need there a different way?
There is a little bit of that. I mean, there's, you have to be really flexible overall. And I would say that there's a lot of variations to what we'd like to do. But there is definitely a short list of players that we'd like to get. And there are priorities. And whether some are in trade, some are in free agency, those are the players we'd like to get. They're the ones we'd like to acquire. And at the same time, you have backup plans or other scenarios to protect yourself. But from our standpoint, it's a very focused group and a very focused list. And some, it's actually a lot of them are not out there in the media and not out there on the internet. And they're harder to acquire, and the likelihood that you acquire them are probably not high, but that's what we're trying to do. And from there, you have a backup list of free agency and some other trade options that you still feel can make your club better. So you really have to be flexible, and I think that's why it's so important to have the information of what the free agent market's doing, what the agents are going to ask for, where the dollars are going, what clubs' needs are. Keeping your finger on the pulse at this time of year, I think, is really important.
What's the significance going to be of a Cano deal when it finally happens, Alex? Is that going to set the market, or is he too much of an outlier?
I think he's an outlier, and that's again, just when you look at some of these players, who can you compare him to over the last few years? Free agent second baseman with those type of numbers, and again, the same way Prince Fielder and Albert Pujols, those guys were outliers. There's not that many of those type of players that get to free agency to begin with. So people can compare, you know, Chase Utley or guys like that, but they signed deals earlier in their career and things like that. So I don't know that those guys impact the market. They kind of have a market unto themselves.
With Alex Anthopoulos, it's no secret that last year you surrendered a few of your prospects, of your high-level prospects, in order to try and make this team better immediately. And there's a sense out there that you won't be willing to do the same thing again. Is that accurate?
No, I don't think so. I think you'd always prefer to keep your prospects if you can. But it comes down to what type of value you're going to get, the control you're going to get back, how you value those players. So I think in the right circumstance, we could talk about anything. And I could tell you, I mean, there's a player or two out there on the market that we'd have no problem surrendering our top guys. I just don't know that we'll be able to make those deals or those clubs will be motivated to move those players that will have the right fit. So in a perfect world, you'd always like to keep your young players and your young assets, but we definitely haven't ruled it out in the right scenario.
There's also a sense that if you're looking for starting pitching, and I think you would acknowledge that you are, that your interest, you may be satisfied with a short-term fix in the starting rotation. And that speculation, I think, comes from the fact that you do have at least a few guys, young pitchers on the way up, a couple of guys coming back from surgery and rehab, that they're, your options in the starting rotation will be greater this spring, but probably even greater the following spring. Does that play into this?
I think so. I mean, I think it's accurate to say we feel we have more depth than we had. We have more volume than we had a year ago. And we knew going into the season that was going to be an area of concern because of guys that were going to be out for the season with Tommy John. So we definitely have more starting candidates this year going into spring training than we had. It's probably significantly more. I think we're probably 10 or 11 deep. Whereas last year it may have been 6 or 7. And, you know, I guess just to put it into context, last offseason we had to sign a full AAA rotation for the minor leagues because we knew we didn't have the upper level depth with guys, you know, with guys coming back off Tommy John. This offseason we have not targeted any minor league free agents for the starting rotation, and that's probably a pretty good indicator that way. Ideally, we'd always go shorter term on deals if we can. We've looked at that, but again, that's not to say that we've targeted that. We're only going with short-term deals, two-year deals, three-year deals. If the right guy's out there and it's a five-year deal or four-year deal, we wouldn't be afraid to do that. And in trade, you know, obviously you're going to target someone most likely who's got some control and who's young. The more control and the better the contract, the more we'd be willing to surrender in young players.
Actually, guys, obviously you chose not to make a qualifying offer to Josh Johnson. Was that the end of the conversation between you and the player and his agent? Did that close the door completely, or has there been any other conversation?
No, you know what? I followed up, I think, last week just to see where they were at with it. But again, you know, for us right now, there's a lot of balls in the air. There's a lot of options, and we're just trying to, again, you're weighing the risk and the reward. And again, not to say we won't take some risk and some chances, but again, it comes down to how much you're going to be paying for that risk. What's the opportunity cost? There's obviously a lot of other guys out there that we still can get. So I think the door's still open, the conversation's still there, but I get the sense that there might be better options for him in some other spots.
This is going to be a tough one for you to answer, I would guess, but acknowledging that you are looking for some help behind the plate, in your mind, do you see a scenario whereby J.P. Arencibia relegates his first-string status and becomes a, you know, once-a-week or twice-a-week kind of catcher in the same organization? Because some would view that as potentially problematic.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, I've been asked obviously a lot about what we're going to do behind the plate. And right now, JP ended the season there, and not even specific to him, but I think I've been consistent saying if we can improve at any position, you know, take away the rotation, but any other position players, if we can upgrade or improve, we'll look to do that. I don't think we've ever looked at a scenario where JP would be a backup for us or something like that. We've never talked about that as an option. So I think it's all about alternatives. It's all about who else is out there. Can we get better? Do we believe he's going to bounce back? I would say yes. I don't think he's the player he was last year, at least from an offensive standpoint. You look at his first 2 years in the league in 2011, 2012. He's a 7 to a 720 OPS guy. He's not going to walk much. He's going to strike out. He's going to have power. But the offense is fine. This past year, the numbers completely fell off. And there could be a number of reasons why that happened, but they did. So I think JP's absolutely young enough to be back to the guy he was in 11 and 12. That being said, we're going to be open-minded at that position and every other position if we can get better.
Would you be – I understand why you would say to a potential trading partner, Alex, that JP is going to bounce back because look at his history. But would you – if push came to shove, would you be willing to go out and say that to the, you know, the fan base and the market in Toronto and say, we're going to bring him back and put him back there because we believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes – just like I said, I think – I think when I'm doing these radio interviews, I'm definitely saying it to the fan base one way or the other. I think like anything else, we'd like to have all-stars at every position. We'd like to have the best player at each respective position. And ultimately, you know, the team that we line up with will be a reason why. Some of it might be because we believe someone's going to bounce back and turn it around. Another might be that this is the best alternative for us. And right now, the options aren't there in the off season. They may come in spring training. They may come during the season. So, but I think, like you said, I think we can debate JP's performance. And again, for the last 3 years, even some of the metrics that we have internally, he hit the ball a lot harder than what the results showed. And there's a lot of indicators that he was better than how he played this year from an offensive standpoint. And I don't see why he can't get back to that level, but it was a hard year on him. The expectations, everything else, it just seemed to snowball on him. And I think he handled it as well as he could have. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone expected him to have the year he had.
I know you got to go. We got to go too. But I want to get this in here since we're on to this, because we had a conversation earlier this afternoon in this vein. Clearly, the pitching staff, the starters, there was a disappointment level there, and a lot of it was injury related, but some of it was performance related. And when you talk about J.P. Arencibia, if you talk about a catcher, it's easy to look at offensive statistics and gauge the value of those statistics. It's less easy to look at the impact of a catcher defensively and how he works with the pitching staff. How, you know, based on your analysis, how would you grade J.P. Arencibia's performance last year in terms of working with the pitchers?
Sure, and I've been asked this a lot too, and I know there's been a lot of the value of the catcher behind the plate and how he impacts the guy on the mound. I think, one, J.P. regressed throwing, no doubt about that. That with his framing, I think he did a very good job. I think when you take the whole body of work, we started the season obviously with R.A., Burley, and then we expected Hap, Johnson, Morrow to be the remaining three guys.
Yep.
And only one of those guys, R.A., was caught by Josh Tolley and Blanco, and J.P. caught Burley, and Burley had the same year as he's always had in his career. The remaining three, Johnson was hurt, Morrow was hurt, Hap was hurt, and he missed time. And we can look in 2012 when Brandon Morrow looked like he was on his way to winning, getting to the All-Star game, and he had a sub-3 ERA. JP caught the bulk of his starts, and he did a pretty good job. And he really only caught one starter that consistently had a spot in the rotation the entire year, and that was Burley. So I don't know that it's fair to pin the results of Todd Redman or S. Bill Rogers or anybody else on JP. They weren't scheduled and planned to be in our rotation to start the year. The other three guys were out. But JP's had some success with some of the other starters that have been here.
Alex, you know, you got to go. We got things to do too. We thank you as always. Hopefully we'll have a chance to chat before the holidays. But if we miss you for some reason, happy holidays to you.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it.